Are you a waste man? Letters to Waste Men. Episode 1.
Weho! Hi, y'all. Welcome to this very first episode of Letters to Waste Men. I am so excited to talk about waste men. No, honestly, I've been wanting to do this for days, weeks, months, years, decades, maybe. I've been having these waste men experiences, and I feel like it's time to
expose.
It's time to put the word out, to share my experiences, because I feel like there are people in the world who potentially could relate. Mm-hmm. And here with me is one of my dearest friends, Margot.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How
Hi,
are
everyone.
You?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. A bit nervous.
A bit nervous.
It's my first podcast experience, but I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Margot has lots of waste man experience, haven't you?
Yeah, I have quite a bit of experiences, but not all of them are negative. Mm-hmm. Some are positive, I guess. It depends on your view.
Depends on the experience as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it does.
I'll introduce the goal of this podcast first.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You probably are wondering, what is a waste man? Well, it's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very broad concept related to men.
Yeah, men.
In my opinion.
Males.
To males. And I just want to talk to different women about and men about their experiences with waste men, and to come to a more general concept, to a more general definition, description of what a waste man is or could be for different people. Yeah. So Margot and I have been talking a lot about our own experiences with men. And yeah, I mean, introduce yourself. Who are you?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Who am I? So I'm Margot. It's like the English pronunciation, but Margot. So I'm a student. I've known Rosie for a long time, since like high school. We've always gotten along really well. We have like the same view about a lot of things. And yeah, I would consider myself a person who's like politically engaged and socially engaged and a feminist, if you will. Mm-hmm. Some people might have a different opinion about what feminism is than me, but yeah.
And maybe also point out that this podcast might seem very feminist, but it's actually, I mean, there is a feminist side to it, but feminism doesn't mean it's men hating.
No.
I mean, a feminist podcast is not men hating, or at least this one isn't. On the
it's
contrary.
Not our intentions.
On the contrary, like we love men. We appreciate.
We love you guys.
We appreciate you, but there are some things that we should talk about.
We need to address. We need to have like a conversation with both sides, both parties, and have like a very nuanced view. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's important just to create awareness about how women feel in relationships, and in just engagements with men, because. And I don't want to stereotype or stigmatize, but men usually don't feel very comfortable talking about their emotions, talking about their behavior or reflect on it, because it puts them in an uncomfortable and vulnerable position. So that's why we do it for you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's why we do it for you. So don't feel obliged, but maybe we could like trigger some reflective behavior in like...
Yeah, in maybe
your
in
mind,
both genders.
In both genders. Point out some red flags to make it just easier to talk about it as well. And even though if you don't really find this topic interesting, at least it might be entertaining.
Yeah, support us.
Yeah, support us, spread the word, and let's get into it.
Yes.
What is your definition of a waste man, Margot?
Yeah, like the first time I ever heard about like a waste man, I think I was watching some kind of YouTube video about like Caribbean slang. So I think it's like a Caribbean thing or like a Jamaican, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's like the origins of the word. Yeah. But for me, like what a waste man is, it's someone who's in general very disrespectful towards women. Not really disrespectful, but like doesn't really think about what the woman's point of view is or what they are feeling, but more like, what am I feeling? They make decisions based on their benefits. And then What also comes with that is that waste men generally don't have a lot of contribution to society. They don't really do anything. They tend to not really have it, like, we're young, so most of the guys that we know are students still. But they don't really do a lot. They party a lot. They drink a lot. That's just a generalization. Mm-hmm. That's what my,
that's like, your,
my view of a waste man is.
And how did you come to that definition? What
what kind of shaped...
Yeah, what shaped your view on waste men?
Yeah, so when I first heard about it, I never really had an experience with waste men, or I thought, that's what I thought at least.
And then, it's like National Geographic documentary.
Yeah.
A species.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, what is a waste man? I've never met like a guy who's like that rude and that disrespectful. And then I thought back about my own experiences, and as a young girl growing up in a Western society that values women, that at least that's what we think. And then I felt very disrespected when I was younger by a lot of different men, not only romantic partners, but also like family or friends. And then I realized, well, maybe I have encountered waste men before. But my first experience was my first love, I guess. I felt very hurt, and I felt like the guy really didn't care about me at all, just about himself. So I guess that was my first real experience. Yeah.
And what do you mean thinking about himself?
He already was in a relationship on and off when we never really dated or anything, but when we were talking or like conversating through WhatsApp or Facebook, and then also seeing him in real life at parties and stuff. And he said certain things to me that he would say to other girls, and then he would probably say the same thing to his girlfriend. So that's like you're entertaining multiple girls. So have you experienced
that? Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. I was seeing a guy, well, it was on an exchange 2 years ago. And I mean, that already puts me in a specific role. You know, like you gotta be careful during the exchange who you engage with, but because, and especially with waste men, because they're like easy, she's temporary, she won't ask too many questions, blah blah blah, everything's exciting, and we saw each other for a couple of weeks only. But it was very intense, and I don't know, he was actually, he seemed genuine. They always seem genuine.
Yeah, they do.
And he even wrote a small love letter for me. And then when I went home, it just, how do you say that? Like, it just
faded
out. And then a year later, I just pulled up again. I went back to Canada, and I was like, yo, I'm back.
I'm here.
Do you want to see me? And he was a bit anxious, I think. Yeah. And eventually we had a date, and then I found out he had a girlfriend still. And also when I was
a year ago, yeah,
he was from Ivory Coast, and his girlfriend was living in Ivory Coast still. So yeah, I just put myself over that. I was like, you know, I know. And I just want to tell you, that's a big waste man thing to do. You don't disrespect women like that. Even at least you could have been honest about it, and then the woman herself can choose if she wants to engage with you still, if she feels comfortable engaging with a man who has a girlfriend elsewhere.
Yeah,
but then that's her, that's on her. And then you don't give her the wrong ideas or the wrong impressions, and you don't make it afterwards when she finds out, she reflects it on what you guys had, and it's not fun. It's a waste.
Did you approach him with the word waste man? Did you really tell him like you're a waste man?
I didn't know that term yet.
Yeah,
waste man for me is quite new, actually. I've when did I first I think during my other exchange in Australia.
So I've been in last year or this year.
This year, 2020.
2020.
I watched Top Boy. And they talk like they have this slang, and that's where I got it. And my boyfriend used the word a lot, so
you got introduced to the concept.
Yeah, to the concept, and I started, like, I discovered a lot of waste men traits in my boyfriend as well.
Wow. Yeah,
but I think it's quite inevitable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people are people. People make mistakes, so you're kind of like bound to have one experience in your life, mm-hmm. even for men. I think mm-hmm. there's plenty of girls out there who can really hurt men's feelings.
But I think wasteman traits also attract me in a way.
Like because, a bad boy?
Yeah, because it makes them look a bit unapproachable, mm-hmm. a bit impossible. Mm-hmm. And it makes, like for me, it means I want it even more.
Yeah.
But once you're in a relationship, cut the wasteman shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but maybe because both of your love stories, like your bigger love stories, mm-hmm. were both on exchange programs.
Well,
or not?
Not really. Like the thing in Canada, the fling in Canada, wasn't really
a love story.
Nah, it was
looking back.
Oh no, it was quite minimal. But it
irrelevant.
Was an experience still. It was, I mean, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about that attract me as well is, for example, for me, wastemen as well are not really good at communication.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it's all very exciting and, ooh, he's not answering and what would he be doing? Mm. And it creates this, this tension, like a bit of a game, I guess.
Cat and mouse.
Yeah. But then when you're in a relationship, then I'm like over that, over the game, just talk, communicate like a mature, normal person. And even though if you're not used to communicating a lot,
put in the effort.
Yeah, put in the efforts.
But I guess like that's what I hear from a lot of my girlfriends, that the men in the relationship has a very hard time communicating and not even about feelings, but just like saying to your girlfriend, like, hey, I'm going to be home at 7 or hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a hard day at work. I'm really busy today. Like, I'm not going to be able to text you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think men in general have a really big problem with communicating.
Exactly. Yeah. Because even though it's bad news, just spill the tea.
Yeah.
Just tell us it's not that deep.
It's not.
Honestly,
it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. I think wastemen very quickly, ooh, it's getting too deep.
Oh yeah.
I'll kick back. But then communicate that you want to kick back.
Yeah, some guys really think all women or all girls want to have serious relationships. And the moment we start talking to someone, we want to claim them and we want to like start a future and have babies. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's
put a ring
realistic.
On it.
Yeah, that's not realistic. Some girls want to have casual relationships. Some girls really just want to see where it's going. I think that's such an underrated approach to relationships. Like, mm-hmm. let's just see where it goes and not put too much pressure on everything.
But they're, I mean, women are more emotional. That's scientifically proven.
That's true.
But yeah, they think the girl will get into it too deep and they're anxious about that or they don't want
to. That's maybe a reason why men are like afraid to communicate to women, because they're scared like the woman's reaction is going to be super emotional, over the top, and they're going to blame us and they're going to be angry. Maybe that's the reason why some men don't want to reveal everything that they're doing and kind of hold back.
But if you just tell the other person what your intentions are from the beginning at that point, because the intentions can evolve.
But they might be scared that they're going to chase you away. They're going to like, you're going to flee when you hear that these are my intentions. I'm not in it for like the long run. I just want something casual. Maybe they're scared like that, you know, I like this girl and she doesn't want the same thing. So she's going to dip.
Mm. They're scared to be skipped.
Yeah. They don't want to be rejected maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, because that puts them in a vulnerable position.
But don't women reject men all the time, though?
Huh?
Women reject men all the time, though, like at parties and stuff.
True, but then that's the hunting. That's the hunting atmosphere,
yeah.
You know? Then it's not that deep. Like when going out,
okay.
Oh, she rejects me. There's another girl on the left.
50
you know?
Other girls twerking, dancing in the web.
True. Oh my God. But you were saying something interesting the other day on compromising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remind me what I said.
Yeah. So we both felt that we compromised a bit too much in our relationship.
Yeah.
So that we were, because we really wanted it to work, because we loved our...
Loved.
Love, yeah. Actually love still, but...
Yeah.
Our boyfriend, and we wanted to work. We want to show them we're ready to compromise for them, to be flexible, to be like, I want you to be happy. And we started to live more in their world than in ours. We started forgetting what we wanted from relationships, what we desire, what we expect, our norms and values and stuff. Yeah, and it's a very draining,
so draining,
draining process.
I underestimated this part of my previous relationship. Like, mm. I was so tired, like mentally exhausted from all the compromising. And actually, at that point, it's not really compromising, right? Because it's only you doing the compromising.
Yep.
So I was adapting. I think that's the correct word. Like, adapting to his environment, to his life, to his culture, to his views and morals. And I felt like I was kind of my thoughts and my personality was kind of disappearing and like fading into the background.
Yeah. And let's call it adapting. On what, let's make it more tangible, less abstract. Specific.
Like, I was always going to his place, always making, for example, we would make food. I would cook a meal, he would clean up, and then he would cook a meal, I would clean up. So in that facet, it was kind of very equal, but I would always have to make something that he liked. I would always have to adapt kind of my flavors and the stuff that my palate really enjoys to his taste and his flavors. And I was only making food that I knew he would love. And he was not doing the same for me. He would make something and be like, oh, I know this is not your favorite, but I really like it. Which is his right.
And did he appreciate your food?
Yeah, he loved my food. Or at least that's what he told me.
I can't relate, bro.
You cannot relate?
No. He found my foods, I think, too European. Mm. And I ate too much carrots. Apparently, I ate a lot of carrots.
They're very sweet.
But I didn't eat that many carrots.
Don't come for me, carrots.
Don't come for me. And my nickname was Carrot. But
wow.
Yeah. And when I cooked, it was always like, okay.
So what did you make? Like, you did. Give me an example.
What did I make? I made spaghetti with zucchini pasta.
Zoodles?
Zucchini noodles. Courgettis.
Yeah, courgetti. Yeah. We have this discussion at home. I call them zoodles. My mother calls them courgetti.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you call
it? Zucchini noodles.
Zucchini. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Which is very healthy.
Yeah.
And my ex was a man who needed meat.
He's not a vegetarian.
No, he's not.
But even if he didn't really like the substance, like he wanted meat, the flavor is what really brings in like the men, I feel. He didn't like the seasoning.
Well, there were too many carrots in there.
You made spaghetti sauce with only vegetables.
So no, there was meat in there.
There was meat in there. Wow.
Yeah.
No, I can't relate. He really liked my cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did. But I made like, I really love food of different cultures. I love to mm-hmm. experiment. So I often made something that leans more towards his culture. Sometimes I would make something more towards like Western cuisine. He really liked everything, but I let's say I cooked like 30 different things. There were like 10 things that were really his favorite, and I would only make those 10 things even though I really didn't feel like eating them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on other things, like compromising for me was also...
I have a good example.
Yeah, go for it.
So I don't even know if this is considered compromising. But this was, for me, kind of the last straw, I would say, for the beginning of the end of the relationship. Like, it was my birthday, and I was super excited to do something because he really like promised me we're gonna do something so amazing and we're gonna do something so fun. And he told me like pack your suitcase because we're going on a road trip. So I'm super excited. I'm at home telling my parents like I'm gonna do this and this and I have to like make my bag and
surprise.
It's gonna be a surprise. And we went to like a big city in the Netherlands, to Rotterdam, which was
nice.
I guess it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But after like a couple of hours, it becomes very clear to me that we're not going to stay the night, that it was just like a day trip, which in itself is not really that big of a deal. If you think about it, like big deal, you're not going to stay over. That's not really a problem. But my problem was that he told me like, look, I'm so sorry. I don't have any money left and I really don't know how to pay for this hotel stay.
Why didn't he think about that earlier?
Yeah. But then my question was, first of all, why did you tell me to bring a suitcase And then
true.
And then number two, the biggest issue, and that's where the whole compromising thing comes from. He had money to go on trips with his friends, and he would stay in Amsterdam for days and do things and go out and go to coffee shops and everything. Mm-hmm. So why don't you anticipate and think, okay, my girlfriend's, it's her birthday in a couple of weeks. I'm going to save up some money, even if it's just like, what? How much does a cheap hotel cost?
About 100 euros a night?
Not even 80? If it's like a youth hostel with a private room or something.
60 euros for 2%.
Exactly, yeah. I don't really expect like a 5-star hotel or anything. Mm-hmm. But that was really, for me, it really hurt me. Mm-hmm. It hurt my feelings. It made me feel very inferior and like I wasn't really worth...
Unprioritized.
Yeah, not a priority. I wasn't really worth spending like 60, 70, 80 euros on, but his friends were. That was very like a big confrontation.
Because I think a big part of that as well is them taking you for granted. Mm-hmm. If you trust someone completely, and inevitably there is this taking for granted part.
Yeah.
But it's important to still show your appreciation, to still make them feel special, even though they're there for you anyways.
Yeah.
It's just...
With the click of a button, you show up.
Yeah. And the thing is, and there's also an imbalance in that you would do anything. Mm-hmm. And you just feel like they wouldn't necessarily do the same for you.
In the beginning, I feel like they would, or they do. Maybe to impress you or to just show their best side, or at least that was the thing in my case. But after a couple of months, that kind of lessened. And he started to do less and less things for me, or he was willing to do less things. Mm-hmm. Like even a trip to the supermarket or come pick me up at the station, it's raining. Oh, do I really have to do this?
My ex really, he had a car, so that was not necessarily something. Yeah, but he drove me around a lot. And in the mornings when he had to go to work, he dropped me off at the bus station, which was like fine.
That's sweet. So for the whole compromise thing, what was like something you experienced?
For me, I think we expected maybe different things from love in the first place. He was, I think he was someone who just saw a girlfriend as something necessary or something normal or for granted as a young adult starting his life, like his independent life.
Yeah.
He just graduated, he started working, he was thinking about investing in a house, he just bought a new car, like he got his shit together. But then I was there as an exchange student to smash his plans a bit. My ex was all about calculated decisions, and I definitely wasn't a part of that. But yeah, we fell in love with each other, and I soon noticed the deadline of our relationship was a big issue, which is fair enough. It is something, it's a big dark cloud above your relationship. It's quite hard to fully commit when you know you're not going to see each other
anymore
in a minute.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm eventually just completely opened up. And that's also something classic. Guys, in the beginning, my ex opened up first about his feelings, and then I completely fell in love as well, or just expressed that. Yeah, I'm more someone who goes for my passion and feels, and I can be very impulsive, and he is the complete opposite, which is why we were very complementary, which made a good dynamic.
Opposites attract.
Yes, but to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So, and now comes the compromising part. When my departure date was coming closer, I realized he was like, had this protective barrier. I don't know. Yeah. And I'm still wondering until this day if that was because his convictions or expectations from love or if it was because my departure. But yeah, he started to show less appreciation, and I really felt like he wanted to limit the traces of me in his life.
Yeah.
To make it easier to get over me.
To make it like easier for himself to live his life when you're gone.
Because
then he already kind of got used to it.
Yeah.
He started pushing you away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like we always talked about it. And I think he really tried. But it was just, I really felt he was pushing me away from a certain point in time. And especially that communication part, because when you're not good at communicating, you leave a lot of room to your partner to overthink or to just like, what the fuck's going on?
Or imagination to also like play games and
like
just go wild.
Ugh, yeah.
You get paranoid maybe.
Yeah, but I learned a lot as well.
What was your main lesson that you learned?
My main lesson?
If you had to like name one.
My main lesson for my ex.
Shout out to my ex.
I think it'd probably be compromise less.
Compromise less.
And maybe don't give too much love.
Yeah.
I mean,
save like
that's
a
very
piece.
It can be a very toxic thing to consciously not give the love you feel.
Yeah.
But I am so giving, especially when I really love someone. I would be just a bit too selfless sometimes.
Yeah.
I always communicate about it. And I mean, I also just learned I'm fucking good at communicating.
Yeah.
I realized that.
You're a machine. You're honest.
You just know what's up.
You know what's up all the time. You're straightforward.
But that's straightforward.
Such a good thing.
Yeah.
I think my lesson would be, of course, like the compromise thing, but just be more selfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a very weird thing to say, like be selfish in a relationship. But if the other party is going to be selfish and you know that's bound to happen, like, of course, your lover, your partner is going to be selfish at one point. But why wouldn't you be selfish then? And I mean, don't disregard their feelings and be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. But just be a little bit more loving to yourself and say to myself, like, this is not what I deserve. And here's where I draw the line. And I don't want you to cross it anymore. This is the last time. I think that's the main takeaway that I had from my previous relationship.
And you do realize it when it's happening, but you just don't want to.
You don't
want to
face it.
You don't want to end it either.
No, and you're like, what if I just try one more time? Maybe they will change, or maybe they'll be a little bit more caring or whatever. And then they do, and they're like, for 2 days, they're like the perfect boyfriend. And then you're disappointed again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
exactly.
You feel so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. My ex was like, I set the bar very low, so you wouldn't, so you would be disappointed less. I was like,
why is that such a waste man thing to say?
Such a waste man thing
like,
to say.
I'm going to be the scum of the earth. So every other guy is going to be like an angel.
Yeah, but also considering his behavior in our relationship, just if you have low expectations, it's easier for me not to disappoint you. But he was joking, but still
kind of serious. I mean, that's kind of like a minimum thing. Like, you have to be funny.
Just dare to just put yourself on a second place.
Yeah,
be selfless more.
I feel like
the waste man.
Yeah. He has to put himself in the second place.
Yeah. They need to be more selfless.
Yeah, but like I think that's kind of unrealistic. Why would someone put themselves second?
Put yourself second because it will make your partner happy. For example.
Give me an example, girl, because I need to be convinced.
I hung up a lot of pictures in his room when I was the day I was leaving. And the next day, the pictures were all, there was one hanging still. And
girl, are you joking?
Yeah, no, I'm not. And I'm like, I did expect you to put them down, actually, because I don't know, it disturbs the aesthetics of his room. And,
aesthetic?
Yeah, and I think...
What was his aesthetic? Like dirty sheets and the trash can? No.
No, his aesthetics are very neat and tidy.
Like minimal.
You know, minimal.
Industrial.
Yes, yeah. And also, like, we're not in a relationship anymore, and it would also be a bit problematic if there were girls coming over with pictures of us hanging on his wall.
Yeah.
But the day after, really, really?
Yeah, but that's like the one of the major forms of disrespect for me. When you break up and you immediately completely throw away the other person, that just hurts, man. That's just crazy.
Fun.
Didn't you just feel he kind of just erased you? Like,
but
throwing the pictures away?
It's what I was already feeling when I was there.
So it's just like a confirmation.
Yeah, confirmation. And I gave him the example of being selfless. So I told him, like, you're a bit selfish sometimes. Yeah. And being selfless means, for example, maybe leave the photos for a week just because it would make me happy, even though I'm not there anymore, just because we had this whole relationship of 6 months. It's relatively long.
For some people, it's a very long relationship.
Yeah, but still, like, we were in it very deep, and yeah, it was just a bit confusing to do something like that. And yeah, it didn't make me feel happy. Or I saw a picture of him and another girl, and it was really, really hard to accept that fact. We called, we were still in touch, and it was like, it was just a picture. I didn't want to add him. I didn't want to bring it up. But then he just gave me an opportunity, so I just
ran for it. What is his response?
And he was like, "It's just a picture, blah blah blah." And I was like, "Sure. Well, Fom, do you understand when you're at the other end of the world and you're not really talking to that person anymore because we call maybe every 3 weeks? That it's hard to assume that it's just a picture."
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're very bad at communicating.
True. There are a lot of factors, yeah, involved. Kind of, yeah. And I got over it. It took me some breakdowns, took me a lot of talks with the people around me. But I got over it, and then I just hit him up, like, to catch up.
As friends?
Yeah, as friends. But yeah.
And is it, like, less? Is it more positive now, like, the interactions that you have?
It is, but it's every time I see him, I like, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
The feels are still there.
I don't know what will happen, especially now COVID fucks everything up. Yeah. The borders are closed. You know, there's
life
not
is on
a
hold.
Bright future ahead.
But for you, it's a completely different story. I broke up with my ex. Like, I really ended it because I really, my feelings were just evaporating. It was crazy. The more I got disrespected, the more my feelings faded away. So for me, that was super weird when I found out that he had a new girlfriend. One, I don't want to screw up the time, like the dates and the timetables and stuff. But my guess, like my estimation, is that he had this new girlfriend. They started dating, I would say, like a month and a week after we broke up.
That's early.
To me, that's so fast. And even though I was a person who broke up, I really didn't have any feelings towards him anymore. I still love him as a human being and as someone who I...
You have history with.
History and, and a really deep connection with. And it was a long relationship, more than 2 years. But when you hear this, like, that your ex is dating someone else, like, that's so painful. And especially so quick and so fast. And then my mind started to wonder, like, where did he meet this girl? Like, how do you get into a relationship so quickly? Maybe that means that they were already talking when we were together. And I asked him, and he told me, like, no, we were not talking. We were just friends. And that's true. He mentioned her a couple of times when we were still together. And I asked him, because he was always talking about her, always talking about this girl, na 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 na. So when a boy talks about another girl, then that kind of means that they like them.
Yeah.
So I asked him, like, do you have feelings for this girl? Like, it's okay. You can fall in love with someone else, or you can catch feelings, but just talk about it.
While,
like,
you were dating still?
While we were still dating. It was the end of our relationship, but I asked him multiple times, like, hey, do you have feelings for this girl? Is this something is something going on? And be honest. He told me a bunch of times, no, it's just a friend. So, of course, I want to believe him, right? But if it was just a friend, how do you go from friends to lovers so quickly?
Yeah.
I think that's suspicious.
Maybe she took her shot.
She kind of waited until he was vulnerable and then shot.
And there's also a thing like rebounds.
Yeah, that's what he told me, that she was a rebound. But that's so disrespectful towards her. Then I feel sad for her. I feel like she's being disrespected.
Also true, yeah. I think being... Have you ever been the other woman? That's also... Oh, that's a good waste man trigger.
That's a good question. Well, when I did my introduction, that boy, like the first boy I ever really like had feelings for and I was really in love with, and it took me a couple years to realize I was really in love with him. I wouldn't say I was the other woman, but he was talking to me while he had a girlfriend, and he was saying things like, oh, I love you and I like you. But we never really did anything physical when he was in a relationship.
Okay.
So...
But emotional cheating is also cheating.
Yeah, it was emotional cheating. I felt like he was cheating.
The intentions were there.
Yeah, but
maybe if you had, you guys had the opportunity, he would have.
And he was cheating. He was cheating with other people, though, physically.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, cheating is insane. A waste man.
That's
thing
like
to do.
The number one red flag.
No, for sure. But
not even a flag. It's just like a whole continent. That's so bad.
But do you believe in the saying "once a cheater, always a cheater"?
No, I don't. I'm gonna be super
You
want to
believe better?
I just feel some men or some people, because a bunch of women cheat. But like some people, I do really believe in once a cheater, always a cheater. Some people just don't grow up and they have like a deep-rooted issue with themselves. And they're unable to commit. But sometimes people just really fuck up. Sometimes they fall in love with someone else. Sometimes the relationship is a mess. It's toxic. So I don't want to say once a cheater, always a cheater. I do like to believe in second chances.
Yeah, it's a bit simplistic thinking.
And I've been the person to fall in love with someone else before. I didn't act on my feelings. But I definitely had the feelings. So I can kind of... I cannot relate to cheaters, but I can understand when that you can fall in love with someone else for sure. But then my opinion would be break up and be honest.
Exactly.
Before you act up on
sincerity.
On
yes. Yeah. And dare to also bring bad news.
Yeah. It's so hard to bring bad news.
And in my opinion, a waste man trait as well is needing a lot of female attention. Do you feel like that is a sign of insecurity?
For sure.
To have their pride confirmed all the time.
Yeah, for sure. They need that energy, that affection. You could call it a form of love.
Yeah.
Multiple women, maybe. Maybe that could be rooted in like a childhood trauma. Yeah. I don't want to be like a psychologist and be like too deep.
Or it's cultural.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel some men... they really need to have conversations with multiple women in order to like get their daily dose of attention.
Yes.
I think it's crazy. And I haven't really had that kind of experience except my first love, as I said before. But I've heard so many friends get their hearts broken because they discovered their love interest was talking to, 5, 6, 7 girls at a time.
Yeah. My ex was talking... like, I'm not the type to look into his phone at all. That's the most toxic thing to do. But I just knew he was talking to other girls.
Mm-hmm.
And he also admitted that. And he was like, yeah, you're allowed to talk to other guys as well. But as long as you, like, hypothetically, if I was watching with you over your shoulder, and if you'd feel uncomfortable, then you're crossing the line.
Also,
and
I'm not like talking to other guys romantically. Not like an open relationship.
No. But okay, where is the line?
Where's
firstly,
the line?
Also, I think most of his chats with the girls were on Snapchat, so that disappears. So that's convenient.
That's such a waste. Thing like Snapchat.
I know. And sometimes he snapped me like, "Yo, what's up?" And I'm like, "Fum, I am not your Snapchat side hoe. I am your."
I'm your main chick here.
I'm your wifey, so you are not asking me how I'm doing on Snapchat. That was a rule.
Maybe he sent that snap to like 10 girls. Have you thought about that? That you're just one of the recipients.
It would be so weird because he's not the one to text. He's not a texter. But then he's not a texter, but then he texts to Becky and Keisha. So.
Oh, Becky and Keisha. All the girls around the block are receiving texts.
Becky, Keisha, Stephanie, Sophie, call it.
Emma. Charlotte.
Shaniqua.
Yeah. Janine. Yeah, but that's rough.
Yeah, and I just gave him a lot of trust, a lot of patience. And a lot of
good girl.
I am just mature. I just put myself all over all of that. I'm like, you're mature. You know how to make respectful decisions. But... do they, though?
They always, like, I always get the feeling, this is just a stupid example I'm bringing up, like, for example, Temptation Island, the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, like, this discussion, and I feel it happens, too, in real life with couples, like, what is crossing the line? What is disrespectful behavior? Everyone knows what cheating is and what disrespectful behavior is. Like, if you have the feeling that you're doing something wrong, you probably are. Sometimes texting girls... is worse than having like a random kiss with someone in a club.
Mm-hmm.
I've read
It's like emotional cheating.
Yeah, like the emotional cheating. Like my ex, towards the end of our relationship, he told me, and I was on holiday, so this makes it like 10 times worse. I was on holiday, I was with my friends, and I was at this beach club, and I got this text like, hey, can you call me? So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll call you. And the thing that he wanted to talk to me about was the fact that he had been texting his ex for 3 weeks.
Why?
He just brought it up to me like super casually, like, hey, I'm texting my ex. I've been texting my ex for 3 weeks. Yeah. And my response at that point is like, okay, so I had two options. Or I freak the fuck out, as I should, or I'm going to be super mature, because with men, if you tell them to go right, they will go left. And that is really my conviction. So I told him, like, I'm not angry. Live your life. Do what you want. But do you feel like you're doing something wrong? He's like, yes, I feel guilty. So I told him that's the only response that you need. And I didn't tell him to stop texting her, because I felt like you should know to stop texting her. Exactly. I don't know what happened after that. We didn't have the conversation again. So I don't know if he kept on texting her or not. Yeah.
You want to be the bigger person? Yeah. And you're like, if you know what's right, you will. And the problem is they don't always, like, I don't know, they feel guilty, but then it's stronger than themselves.
Do they really feel guilty, or do they feel bad that they're going
to
be like...
But I don't really think so, because they don't like to reflect a lot on their actions.
Yeah. But for my ex, I feel one thing that I should give him is the fact that he did tell me. I really didn't... Never looked at his phone or anything. He really told me up front. I would have preferred that he told me in person and we could have like a real conversation. For me, it was hard to express my feelings over the phone.
The fact that he just brought it up very casually is a classic waste man
trait. That's a red flag.
I talked about it with my sister as well. They like to minimalize their mistakes, and they take responsibility, but they minimalize the mistakes.
Oh, jeez.
And it doesn't make you less... masculine to be extra about it,
like
to fully apologize and be like, oh my god, and I will make it up to
I'm
you
so sorry.
It's not happening.
But this is where the whole manipulation thing comes in, and I think that's an important topic, and I just thought about it. Have you heard of the term gaslighting?
Yeah.
Have you heard of it? It's super popular these days. It's like, correct me, or like, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a way of manipulating a person into thinking that you are right and they are wrong. So I think that's a typical waste man thing to do. They mess up, they make a mistake, and then they minimalize the whole scenario. So you would think that you are the person that's being dramatic, that you're overreacting.
Yeah.
That's a classic manipulation move. Like, that's so scary.
So I saw a post on a meme account. What's it called? No chill. And there's like Fashion Nova. They got sponsored by Fashion Nova. And they're like...
So they're like an Insta baddie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I saw a meme of men opening up. When he emotionally opens up to you and lets you see his soft side. And then it's a bunny taking care of another bunny. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, like... I looked at the reactions. Who does that?
Yeah.
But oh my God. Start counting down the day she uses that shit against you. Like all men. Yeah, don't fucking do it. Nah, don't fall for it, guys. It's a trap.
These are men responding to the picture.
Yeah. It's a trap. She's going to repeat everything you told her to her homegirls. That's when she starts plotting how to break your heart, blah, blah, blah. So they're okay, but that's also a sample of people who react.
Yeah.
The people that react on memes.
Like a good representation.
No, of men.
No, of course
in general.
It's not. Yeah, of
but,
course.
But there is this thought that, men... shouldn't open up because women will use it against them.
So they're scared. Is it like a phenomenon amongst like men that they feel we're and plotting against them or something?
Yeah, I mean
that we will ruin them. We'll wreck them.
Yes, because we are drama queens and we are feisty. Men are taught to suppress their emotions from growing up.
But that's true, and I feel like that's something we need to address. That men are raised in the wrong way. Women too, I guess.
And that they shouldn't take women's emotions too seriously either.
Yeah, they're just raised like, be a player. I really don't know how many times I heard someone tell my cousin or my brother like, oh, you're such a cool guy if you have a lot of
pussy.
Yeah, not like that, but yeah. And then I've never heard someone say that to me though. Like, mm-hmm. hey, just break as many men's hearts as you can. Try to count them and stack them up. Mm-hmm. No one ever told me that. Mm-hmm.
And I think that whole, how do you call that?
Narrative?
I think that whole that whole narrative that men shouldn't open up to women is because they don't really I don't want to generalize, but anyways, so they don't talk about it either with women.
Yeah.
So they don't really know if it's true or not.
And maybe when they do, some girls might find that unattractive.
Mm-hmm. Because women are thought the same thing about men.
That men should be hard and tough.
Yeah.
And
if you don't burst that narrow-minded bubble.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Poetic.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
We should all change our behavior. Because maybe that kind of feeds the whole waste men, their
culture.
Culture that women like, kind of are attracted to men who are more emotionally distant.
And inaccessible.
And and that's, I think women find that sexy, that a guy is like, I'm so tough. Oh. You cannot hurt me.
But
so I'm going
to
hurt you.
But to a certain point, if a guy dares to show his vulnerability, that makes him so sexy and so attractive.
That's so true. Yeah. I kind of have a reaction to my past preferences.
I think it's a phase. I was attracted to that in a phase, but now
me too. Now I find it super appealing when a guy dares to be emotional and dares to be very vulnerable, and they can kind of show a softer side and maybe write a poem or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's super cute. Mm-hmm. Men, and also men are offended when you call them cute. That's something I've realized.
Really?
I told my ex, hey, oh, that's so cute. And he was...
I'm a tough...
Yeah, the look on his face was priceless, basically. He looked at me like I just shot him or something. Yeah. He's like, how dare you call me cute?
You endangered his pride.
Yeah, but I thought I think it's a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, but what does it matter what we think?
Yeah, it matters what they think. How do they feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I found interesting that you said in the beginning, that when you are on exchange, that you kind of attract, you attract different types of men, or you look for different types of men? I don't know.
I was attracted to different types of men during my exchange, but especially Canada, because Australia, I just fell in love with my ex at the beginning, and it was only him during the whole exchange. I was attracted to other men, actually.
Physically?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm like, it's not that deep, whatever. You'll always feel attracted to other people.
There's always going to be...
The grass is not greener.
Yeah.
Period. Sure. Period. But yeah, during my exchange, I was just very open to meet a lot of new people. And I took every opportunity. So I didn't sleep around with 172 men, but
specific number.
Specific. But I had a lot of dates. I met a lot of different people, and I think I evolved there as well, and on what I want and what I don't want.
Yeah.
But because it's shorter, it's just way more intense, and you don't really have to think about the long run.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you say that you had waste woman tendencies when you were on exchange, or
myself?
Yeah, that you kind of took on the role of the huntress, and that you wanted to attract men, but not gather men, that's the wrong thing, but you kind of wanted to be free, and because you're in a strange country, no one knows you, who you are, no one has the same prejudices that the people in Belgium have. So you kind of advantage of this, of the opportunity to be, to fool around and to be crazy and to be free.
Yeah, it was convenient for me to be someone nobody knows, and they don't really talk about you. And I could have a lot of dates, and people wouldn't
judge
or just make bigger things out of very innocent things,
know,
and start gossiping and making from a mosquito an elephant is how they say it in English.
Very good translation.
But if they would have asked me, are you having dates with other people, I would have said yes, I am.
Yeah. But if it's not really anything serious, I really don't see a point in telling everything. As long as you're not really dating the person, why should you tell them what you're up to.
Exactly. And it was all just meeting. Yeah, on an exchange, you just meet a lot of people. You take every opportunity. And
it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Experience. And I talk to my friends from Quebec still. So friends for life.
Friends for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. My exchange, I always told my ex, like, I didn't tell him. That's what I thought. Okay. I never told him. But I really wanted to be single if I ever went on an exchange. And then I didn't plan it, but I was. And I got into the plane thinking, like, I'm going to live my best life. I'm going to be like a party girl and I'm going to do whatever I want. And then, of course, I partied a lot, but on like the love aspect of my exchange was so boring. I just found everyone very shallow, very uninteresting. And then I went on exchange to Italy, and the men there are so different than Belgian guys.
In what way?
I felt like they were, I don't want to offend anyone, but they were very disrespectful compared to Belgian guys. I feel Belgian guys, and I'm just talking about very superficial contacts, right? At the club or someone you meet like briefly at an event or anything. In Belgium, I feel the guys are, of course, guys or people in general, they want to have sex and they want to have intimate and physical contact. That's fine. I mean, that's a human reaction.
Yeah.
But in Belgium, I feel guys are a little bit more subtle. They want to talk and they want to, or that's like the things that I've noticed. But in Italy, it's just super direct. Super clear and direct. And I felt sometimes like I was a piece of meat more than I was a human being. And in the club, very inappropriate touching. And I would tell, please stop doing that. They wouldn't stop. They would feel like it was their right to do this.
Very patriarchal.
Yeah, like insane. And then at night, I had a good friend who would live kind of in the same neighborhood. So he would walk half of the way with me to my house. So that was super sweet of him. But there were times that he wouldn't go to the club or whatever. And then I would have to walk home by myself. And I'm not a scared person. I just turn on my music and I just walk for my life. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten harassed on multiple occasions by strangers. And my friends have too. And that's something in Belgium. I've really been super blessed and lucky, because I know it's not like this for every girl out there. But in Belgium, I just haven't experienced like that type of behavior. I just have to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I was
cultural thing.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe it's because they notice that I'm a foreigner and they want to like shoot their shot. But I felt like I felt harassed. I felt like I was
objectified.
And I felt like a victim sometimes.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. I think they don't really respect women in that way. It's just procreation.
Yeah. And that's like where my whole living my life plan kind of got interrupted. Oh my God, I was super fed up with the men, and I was just like, okay, this is a friend exchange. I'm gonna invest in my friends, which was a good decision.
That I'm really frustrated about that, actually, that exchanges have this whole reputation of getting late, drinking every day.
Mm-hmm.
That was not at all what I expected from my exchange.
Really?
And that was not the purpose either. Like, my exchange was just time for myself.
Yeah.
Just meet new people, surround, like, and that's why I like you so much and why we're such good friends, because we both shared that passion for surrounding ourselves with different cultures, different people, different stories.
Refreshing.
Yeah. That's what I really live for, actually.
Same.
Yeah.
I feel I really do not get that a lot with the people that I know now, the mindset of, hey, I want to discover new things. And we're both very similar in that aspect. We really love to discover new things, like new music, new food, new people, new cultures, new experiences. And people can be very stuck in their own little world.
I know.
Yeah.
And they base their opinions on that small world. Small basis. And they take it as a truth.
Yeah, but the world has so much beautiful things to offer if you dare to look beyond what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a wasteland material.
No, true. But exchanges for the win.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I had my biggest wasteman experiences on exchanges, actually.
Yeah. For me, they were not really wasteman experiences, because they were just harassment.
I'm so sorry.
No, but it's fine. I mean, I'm not traumatized, but I did learn and I did get like the narrative to sympathize more with other women and to, because I'm sure it happens all around the world. I've just been lucky that in my own country, I haven't really experienced anything bad.
Mm-hmm. And I also, I'm a firm believer, and I think that attracts me about waste man behavior as well. Like, I want to change it. I want to improve it.
We want to save them.
Yeah, oh, kind of, I guess. But I'm just in it before I even realize.
Yeah.
And it's because I can't keep things for myself if they're not okay, or if they make me feel really sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really hope I can trigger a change or just a realization that maybe it might be not that bad to try something else, another approach to improve yourself for someone else, maybe.
But in the first place, you have to change for yourself.
Yeah, true.
Because I really strongly believe that kind of behavior is not going to make you happy in the long run. Mm-hmm. Kind of maybe it makes them feel empty after a while.
Yeah, you have to do it for yourself, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. But do you think the next time that you meet someone and you see the red flags popping up, how do you want to react? Or how do you think you'll react?
Well, it depends on what red flags.
Okay, let's say you meet someone you're dating and...
Bad communication.
Yeah, kind of set up a date and they don't show up, or they tell you, I'll be like 2 hours late, and then it's 2 hours later and they're still not there.
Yeah.
How will you respond?
I actually told myself, like, I have no patience left for people who can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like, when it'll happen to me, it'll just depend on how deep it is at that point for me.
How deep into the relationship?
Or just
the feelings, or
just the guy. If it's the first date or the fourth date,
I would suggest you run for the hills if it's the first date and the person
big red flag.
Just don't even try, girl.
Abort mission.
No. That's an interesting topic as well, like dating, because we've talked mostly about relationships, but what about like Tinder or casual dating?
Yeah,
like starting the talking phase and the date phase.
I'm not on Tinder, so I can't really...
I'm not on Tinder anymore. I deleted that.
Why?
Just...
Are you
I go
off
through
the streets?
Phases. No, I'm not off the streets. I'm still on the market. No, but I just get kind of fed up with the app. It's very superficial.
Yeah.
It's like you can find someone physically appealing and then talk to them, and it's just pure disaster.
Against all my values.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm on Tinder, I'm swiping, I'm like in a shop picking a new dress or something. I feel I'm disrespecting other people. And I don't know if men feel the same way.
Yeah. It's just very objectifying. Yeah. Very superficial. And it's literally a machine.
Mm-hmm.
The whole swiping the action
algorithm.
As well. What the fuck is that? Like, ooh, cute swipe.
You're canceled. Or
yeah.
And then I wonder, like, am I being swiped left by who? Why? Like, what's wrong with me?
But dating, I'm not too sure. I'm very much like, see how it goes. Always stay honest to yourself. Just stay honest to yourself about how you're feeling. Don't go into something to hope
for the best.
No, yeah. Don't, like, life's too short.
Don't go into like a, don't go on a date hoping to get a long-term relationship.
Yeah. No. Don't have too much expectations, because you set yourself up for disappointment.
Just go with an open mind and an open heart. That's my advice. But dating, I actually really like going on dates. I think it's so fun to meet new people. That's like my main...
And it's so easy in the beginning. Yeah. You don't know anything. You can
discover the person, and you discover yourself too.
But those first dates... They don't show anything about who that person is.
That's what I've noticed.
You get to know that person after a while.
It takes a while in order for the little sides to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how people that know me, you know me. I tend to be very, I can be very aggressive in the way that I speak. Like I would call it passionate more than aggressive. But if I have an opinion, I think you will know.
You shall know.
Yeah, you shall know what my opinion is.
and now everyone will.
Yeah, but I think that you have to be, that should be acceptable mm-hmm. in relationships and in dates, voicing mm-hmm. your opinion. I mean, you're getting to know the other person, so.
So I already mentioned I'm a good communicator. Yeah. And I find it key in a relationship mm-hmm. to talk about what's going on. And the thing is, as my ex wasn't good at communicating, I didn't always want to be the one who started a discussion yeah, or anything. I kept it to myself sometimes. But then I had lists of things, of frustrations. And I remember him calling me once and he was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "Do you really want me to get started? Okay, let me grab my list." And I had so much I started.
You ranted.
I ranted. And, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. You got to let it all out.
So what did you know?
And that's what I really appreciated. And what made him like less of a waste man is that he always listened and he always reflected on what I said and was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I get you. Then his side.
He kind of admitted to messing up.
Yeah.
That's very positive.
Yeah.
Because that shows that you're like willing to grow as a person.
Yeah, and I do believe that people change, slightly. And I don't for example, now my ex. I don't want him to change because I love him for who he is.
Yeah,
but
maybe not change his personality, but just like communicating better could make such a big difference.
That's the first thing. But yeah, when you're living at the end of the world, I don't. It's
too
point.
Late now, right?
There's no point. But yeah, maybe for his future women, you never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, what have we learned today?
That's like Pieter's intrede for the Belgians. It's like a famous chef, and every time he asks at the end of the episode, like, "What have we learned today?"
Yeah.
So what have we learned?
Well, what we already knew. Maybe I think what we learned today is that waste men are actually valuable experience.
Yeah, it shapes you.
It shapes you. And it also made me willing to create awareness around it.
Yeah, it was the inspiration for this podcast. So
yeah.
It's good to raise awareness and prevent maybe the next generation to fall into the same societal trap.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned, I think, that it's also a product of education and the way young men are raised.
And images and beliefs about gender roles.
Yeah.
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
And that people change as well.
Yeah.
And that it's important to open up.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have
communication.
And if you have a good girl, you gotta let her in.
Yeah, guys, if you have a good girl, don't push her away.
Don't push her away.
Let her in. And girls, if you have a good guy and he's showing waste man qualities, confront him about it and be honest and kind of start the conversation early on mm-hmm. and don't let it simmer until mm-hmm. later on in the relationship when it explodes
mm-hmm.
in your mm-hmm. face.
When it might be too late and the guy wouldn't take you seriously.
Yeah, and when it's too late and your feelings are already hurt like too much, you feel you're not valued.
That's on period. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Margo, for joining me.
No, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor. My first podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the good work with the next guests.
Yeah, thank you, baby. And yeah, I'll talk to you later with more waste man behavior.
Letters to Waste Men.